Jerome Powell yesterday said we have core inflation coming down to 2.5% next year. That would be significant progress towards their goal. That statement in context is a flip-flop.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey. Today's market rundown, we will be discussing, well, there's the headline, Powell flip-flops on inflation post-election. Starting with a quote from the brothers Karamazov. Above all, don't lie to yourself. The man who lies to himself and listens to his own lie comes to a point that he cannot distinguish the truth within him or around him, and so loses all respect for himself and for others. That's something Powell should be reading. All right, let's start with the markets, and then we'll get into what the context of that is. 10-year yields are up 2. The dollar is down 13. The S&P 500 is up 48 at 59.15. The VIX is 20.55, down 7. Gold is 26.03, up 17. Silver is 29.24, down 10. Copper is 4.04, down a little less than a penny. WTI is 70.25, up 37. Natural gas is 3.28, up 7. Bitcoin is 101 spot 900, up 1900. Ethereum is 36.77, up 53. Palladium is up 6 and change at 909. Platinum is 928, up 7. Gold silver is 88, approaching 89. Grains are mixed. There's the Dow Industrial Average. All right, let's get started. There we are. Discussion. Jerome Powell yesterday said we have core inflation coming down to 2.5% next year. That would be significant progress towards their goal. That statement in context is a flip-flop. What he really did was he raised the end of the year core inflation expectations from 2.1%, his prediction 2 months ago, to 2.5% today. So he did not raise his target, but he did raise his prediction. And he tried to take a victory lap while he was doing it. All right. Trying to report this as what happened. We'll go through what he did in broad strokes and how the markets reacted, and then we'll just touch on gold for a little bit more specifically. Not a bad day for gold, considering what's going on. Silver as well, considering what happened with copper. All right, let's start with the shift in stance. Put some charts up for that. Less than 3 months ago, the Fed slashed rates by 50 basis points while Kamala Harris's polls were waning. But yesterday, post-election, they hiked both their inflation and their interest rate forecasts significantly, but have not moved their unemployment rate figures one bit. Hat tip to Zero Hedge for that observation. To have a crisis cut of 50 basis points. That's a crisis cut, like September 18th in 2007. And then to not change your unemployment expectations in 2 months means either you were perfect in your behavior or you shouldn't have cut to begin with. All right, moving on. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell has executed a notable shift in tone since the pre-election period, signaling a reversion to his hawkish self during yesterday's press conference. Quote, "We are, though, in a new phase of the process," Powell remarked, emphasizing the need to, quote, "move cautiously and look for progress on inflation." And the chart you're looking at right there, that's the Fed dot plot. And that's actually a Zero Hedge chart. The red arrows are what you want to focus on. The lower line to the upper line is how in 2 months they've changed their projections, projecting rate cuts that are going to be decreasing, which means a higher base rate. All right. The funny thing is, this cautious tone contrasts starkly with both recent market behavior and, more importantly, commentary from the more hawkish Fed Open Market Committee members who had argued that disinflation already appeared to have stalled. In short, there is nothing new about this phase that Powell is saying that we're in this new phase. It's not a new phase. It's a continuation of unfinished business is what it really is. Moving on to the next part, which is rising rate expectations and the economic fallout, Powell's semi-acknowledgement of evolving conditions with a sharp rise in long-run rate expectations, as you can see, now sitting at six-year highs, are far removed from the Fed's stated 2% neutral target, leading to a broad market turmoil sell-off. So let's go through the markets. A significant sell-off gripped equities, with small caps suffering the most, down 5% at their trough. That's the NASDAQ. On the right is an hourly chart, and on the left is the day in question. The next chart, that's the S&P 500. Same idea, but it gets worse. So the small caps suffered a lot more than you'd think. And that's the Dow. The reason the small, we'll get to why the small caps matter in a second, but the NASDAQ endured its worst session since July, while the Dow has now declined for 10 consecutive days. Now, let's move on to something called breadth weakness. Now, one of the things that Hartnett had been talking about, we'll get to what this chart means in a second. One of the things that Hartnett had talked about is, as the rally matures, as a rally gets more support, the breadth widens, right? So you go from three stocks to 500 stocks rallying, because the market is, as the market breadth widens, it's a better indication of the whole economy doing better. It's kind of like, you know, the 1% and the 99%. Well, the breadth has not widened much at all. And yesterday was an example of what happens when the breadth doesn't widen. Now, you're looking at that chart, green means up day, red means down day. Okay. Thick green means more stocks performing than not performing. What I want to focus on here, unless I cut it off, I might have cut it off. No, I didn't. Right. You see this thick red line here on the end, this one on the end, not the really fat one, the thick red line here on the end. That's the day yesterday. Now, it's not a thin line, it's a thick line. It's the lowest breadth. I'm implying breadth. This is advanced decliners. There are that many more decliners than advancers. Okay. And if you go all the way back to 2018, it hasn't been that low since 2018. It, you know, maybe once it happened in 22. But this is the worst day in a long time for market breadth and advanced decliners. And it's a big comment on the true internals of the economy. So it continued to deteriorate, amplifying bearish sentiment across multiple indices. Now let's go through the other markets that were drivers of this, starting with the dollar, right? The dollar surged. It's now up 4% since the election, reaching levels not seen since September 22. This rally coincided with significant stress in other asset classes. Everyone went to cash. So there's the dollar. You can see what happened there. And on a day like that, you're going to see anything that's dollar denominated, like gold or silver or Bitcoin or stocks, sell off. And that's what happened. So let's go through some of the markets. Bitcoin was pummeled, dropping sharply, but managing to hold above the 100,000 level for now. Now, and you can see this is this morning's behavior. It's bounced. You'll see that gold is like that as well. Gold, Bitcoin, and silver all bounced, whereas stocks did not. Now, they're starting to bounce now based on what I just showed you, but that's because we're heading into U.S. hours. The rest of the world is not buying U.S. stocks anymore. 10-year yields. Now, this is horrible, actually. Treasuries experienced a drubbing, right? The 30-year yield rose by 7 basis points, the 5-year yield by 14 basis points, and the 2-year yield by 10 basis points, pushing all yields to 7-month highs. Now, when the Fed cut rates, give you an idea of something's wrong. When the Fed cut rates at the short end, you would expect bonds to perform well because, oh, you know, rates are lower, so we'll buy long-term bonds. And they didn't. Long-term yields went up because people sold their bonds. And people sold their bonds because, they won't say this in the press, but this is what happened. People sold their bonds because they said, oh, you're cutting rates too soon. Inflation's not done. And so we're going to punish the bonds until you get your shit together. All right, so here they are, ostensibly, according to the bond market, getting their shit together. And the bond market yields go up when they say they're not going to cut rates now. So whatever is happening, every time something happens, the bond market says it's not enough. It's not enough. That's the way to look at it. You're cutting rates in the short end. Long bond says you're cutting too soon. You didn't fight inflation enough. Rates go up. You're stopping to cut rates. Well, you should be not be cutting rates at all today, right? And the bond market says it's not enough. You're not. You're trailing reality. He's lying to himself, as the expression goes. And I'm being kind. I could say some other things as well. All right. So now we move to our beloved precious metals. Gold was bludgeoned. Now, take a look at gold, though, here compared to what the stock market looked like. During Asian hours, gold and silver and Bitcoin were bought, not U.S. stocks. And we're going to get into why this is actually, I'm very comfortable with this for gold. Technically, notice how we're back in the 100-day moving average. If we go below that, then you're going to have some people look to sell it. If the market chops around in that area, that's okay. But if the slope of that turns or the 50-day moving average turns significantly lower, you could have some sellers come in. We could be in for several months of sideways bearish moves. But the fundamentals, some good fundamentals came out yesterday. So let's take a look at the next market. That's silver. Silver, right? Everyone is going to sell silver now, even if they're buying gold. That's the CTA way. That's what the momentum guys are doing. But even silver bounced. Stocks did not bounce at all. Right now, the plunge protection team is in there buying stocks, really buying stocks. The VIX, here's the proof of all of it. The VIX had its, let me see if I can find my notes on that. What did the VIX do yesterday? I believe that this is the VIX's biggest close from open to close change in forever in percentage terms. So the VIX went up. See, you'll see the VIX will go up and then it'll get hammered back down. It went up and it closed up. That's, they were caught flat-footed yesterday, and they're going to come in and they're going to sell it, and now it's down 7%. And they're going to try and get in line. They're going to sell volatility, and they're going to buy stocks. It's just a fact. That's what they're going to do. All right, so that's what happened yesterday, and we're going to go through what happened today as well. So rate expectations for the end of 2025 have surged to 4%, reflecting growing market skepticism about the Fed's ability to manage inflation effectively, if at all. The persistent rise in expectations underscores concerns about Powell's recent pivot and its potential implications for long-term economic stability. The quick analysis is, I mean, on the surface, it looks like Powell lied, right? There's a chart out there. I looked it up and I couldn't get it in one chart, but Zero Hedge put one out. If you chart who was in the lead, you may or may not remember, but in August, as the Democratic convention approached in mid-August, Kamala Harris's chances started to increase because there was emotion and there was pump on that, and plus the press, the polls were probably skewed. Well, probably they were skewed. And then after the, you know, she got like a bump from the convention, which I guess all candidates do. And during that time, May, June, July, August, it was like 2%. We're headed to 2%. We need to fight inflation. And then September, he cuts 50 basis points. If he's not influenced politically, at least he doesn't think he's influenced politically, then he's probably lying to himself. If he knows that he's influenced politically, then he lied to us. So, I mean, those are strong words to use, and I'm nobody who's going to affect his career. But yeah, I mean, you know, look, there's one thing to lie to people, you know, even if you're lying for a greater good, you believe that it's for a greater good. We can't have Trump as president. You know, I don't. And so that's horrible, right? That's horrible, right? But he's lying because he thinks he's right. I think he's lying to himself. I think he actually believes that he cut rates because there was a problem. It's a really bad sin. Anyway, so there's the December dots, the dotted line, right? The white dotted line and the gold line is the market implied rate. So the market is basically reversed and is now front running him to cut. Now, can he come out and say, okay, it's not that bad? The point is, if he, you can't flip flop as the Fed. He basically went from 2% inflation is our target to we're not there yet, I'm going to cut, to 2% inflation as a target. Look, inflation is going to bottom at 3%. It's going to bottom right here. And if it bottoms under 2.5%, we're going to have a crash, I think. And then he's going to have to really, you know, put the pedal to the metal. And that's why you're seeing dips being bought in gold and dips being bought in silver and dips being bought in Bitcoin. Anyway, moving on. Wow, it's a lot yesterday. Now we'll talk about gold specifically. Goldman put out a report. I mentioned it yesterday, and I'm going to share a paragraph of it with you, and I'll write it up this weekend. The colleagues of Goldman's analyst disagreed with her reason for gold to be bought by central banks with a strong dollar. Strong dollar, no one buys gold. That's what everyone's saying, right? All right. And what we've been saying is strong dollar, they buy gold, they'll just be a little bit more patient about it, but meaning central banks. But in the West, they'll just stop buying gold because they're very neo-Keynesian and very, very correlation oriented. Here's the paragraph in question. It's a very long, very well-written report, but there's a paragraph that really just put a smile on my face. Second, we disagree with the view from the people contradicting her that dollar strength will halt structurally higher central bank purchases, which boosts the end of 2025 gold price by 9% in our base case, because central banks tend to buy gold internationally from their dollar reserves. In fact, the large central bank buyers tend to raise their gold demand amid local currency weakness to boost confidence in their currency. Now, I could spend an hour on this paragraph. We don't want me to do that. Let's look at this, though. When the dollar strengthens, you may have less dollars. Have less dollars, and so you may want to sell something like gold to get more dollars because dollars are more expensive, or, you know, gold should go down in dollar denominated prices. But that's because you're using dollars. If you're using dollars, well, you're going to sell gold to get the dollars to buy something else. That's just how the arbitrage works. But what if you already have the dollars and you don't want them anymore? That's what she's saying here. She's saying central banks tend to buy gold internationally from their from dollars they already, not dollars they want. It's dollars they have that they don't want. So when the dollar goes up, they're like, that's great. I'll buy the same amount of gold. It'll take less dollars. They want the gold. They don't want the dollars. And they have a portion of their reserves that is earmarked to sell to buy gold. And they're selling dollars to buy gold. And when the dollar goes up, they don't care. When the U.S. correlation traders sell it because the dollar is stronger, they're like, okay, I'll buy the same amount. I'll just use less dollars to do it. Because they're not afraid of gold. They're afraid of dollars now. Anyway, more on that later on. News and analysis yesterday, two posts, Fed Day, hawkish cut on deck, which we described this could happen. And Goldman pushes back on gold bears. That's the F Founders post. We'll be sharing that with the premium tomorrow. Data on DAC, PCE is on Friday. All right. Not really much to say, except, well, here we go. As we head into U.S. hours, you should expect stocks to rally. You should expect gold to sell off. You should expect the dollar to do nothing. Right now, in the old days, which is, you know, 2 years ago, after a day like yesterday where gold and stocks were like down 3% and gold was down, you know, 2%, or I'm sorry, 1.5%, you would expect to see stocks rally and gold continue to sell off because nobody buys gold after that news because gold just stops and rolls off the table. But recently we're seeing gold compete in the bounce. And so let's see how the week ends. I'm not saying it should end strong, but I am saying that look at this chart for gold, right? The last 6 days. And then look at the same chart for the stock market. This is denial. This is reality, and this is hope again. So the markets, the economy, the breadth is really bad. If the breadth is this narrow and the decliners are that much more than the advancers, you know, on a good day, NVIDIA goes up, nothing else does, well, then that means the economy sucks and one company's doing well. Kind of like the elite's doing well and you're going into your couch cushions to get money to buy bread. Anyway, I'm Vince. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow.